A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. We've talked about headphones a bit on this podcast, and one of those technologies that many of us have in our pockets, and when you actually look at how it works, it's pretty impressive, is ANC, or active noise cancellation technology. The basic premise of ANC is that you have a little microphone, tiny microphone, that listens to the acoustic environment and plays an opposing frequency. And as somebody who's dealt with both sound sensitivity and a noisy urban environment for many years, I've gone through pretty much everything in the realm of headphones to try block out unwanted noise. I remember living next to a construction site for a year and a half, next to another one, roadworks, for another year. So lots and lots of this kind of stuff. And concluding that ANC was kind of hit and miss for this use case, because it works very well, the classic use being in an airplane, where you have the hum of the jet engines that is pretty steady and predictable. You know, even if there's a change in thrust, it's not a wildly modulating frequency. And it doesn't work so well if you're in a, let's say, a really noisy cafe and you're trying to have a phone call and trying to hear the person coming through your headphones. There's just too many frequencies modulating too quickly and unpredictably, and it just doesn't really work. The products that do work in that case, in my experience at least, are passive noise blocking headphones, and Etymotic is probably the best known manufacturer. They do some really, really great products. They do take a lot of getting used to, but they do passive well. I'd love to ask about, that was a picture the last time I really looked at this, which is maybe 5 years ago, and the way everything is advancing, it's an unsafe assumption that this remains the case today. I've mentioned that Hannah and I live in a noisy urban apartment, and we talked about acoustic windows before. Those are one option if you're dealing with a lot of street noise. You can just hear the Jerusalem background sounds around me here, wherever that kind of music thingy is coming from. I've often wondered, why can't ANC be unminiaturized? Like, could you have a microphone directed out at the street level, picking up, you know, the stuff coming from the outside, and you have like an indoor speaker, maybe mounted on, maybe ceiling mounted, that would basically block out the street level as an alternative technology. I'm not sure if there's any remote physical chance that would work, but either way, I'd be curious to know if anyone's thought of such technologies, because I know in the world of audio, there's consumer audio, and if you have enough of a budget, there are some pretty crazy solutions out there for all this kind of stuff. So ANC, Herman and Corin, how well does it work in 2026? And can it be taken out of the world of headphones and into general space sound cancellation?
Daniel sent us this one. He's been through the ringer with urban noise, construction sites, roadworks, the whole Jerusalem symphony outside his window. And he's asking whether active noise cancellation has actually gotten good enough in the last 5 years to handle the messy, unpredictable stuff, not just the steady hum of an airplane engine. And then there's the bigger question. Can you take ANC out of headphones entirely and use it to cancel noise in a whole room?
This is one of those questions where the physics hasn't changed, but the processing has gotten dramatically better, and the spatial ANC thing is genuinely fascinating because people have been trying to crack it for decades. Let me start with where we are in headphones, because that's the foundation. The last 5 years have been less about the basic principle. You've still got that tiny microphone listening and generating an inverted wave, and more about what happens between the microphone and the speaker. The latency requirements are absurd. You've got about 30 to 50 microseconds to sample the sound, compute the anti-noise signal, and push it out. If you're late by even a fraction of a millisecond, you're not canceling, you're adding to the problem.
It's a race between a sound wave moving at 340 meters per second and a chip trying to do math before the wave gets there.
And the chip is the entire story now. 5 years ago, most ANC systems were what they call feed-forward. Microphone on the outside of the ear cup, basic filtering, one-size-fits-all transfer function. It worked great for low-frequency steady-state noise, exactly the airplane hum Daniel mentioned, but fell apart with anything dynamic. A door slamming, a baby crying, someone dropping a plate in a cafe. The system couldn't react fast enough to changing frequency profiles, and the anti-noise would actually become audible as this weird pressure sensation or a faint hiss.
I felt that. It's like someone's pressing on your eardrums from the inside.
That's the phase mismatch. And the other problem was what happens when the seal breaks. You adjust your glasses, you chew something, the ear cup shifts a millimeter, and suddenly the acoustic cavity you're canceling in has changed shape. Old ANC didn't compensate, so what's changed? First, hybrid systems are now standard even in mid-range earbuds. You've got both feed-forward and feedback microphones. One outside, one inside the ear canal, and they're running what's essentially a real-time adaptive filter that's constantly comparing what it predicted against what actually arrived.
It's got a microphone inside your ear, listening to what made it through, and adjusting on the fly.
That feedback loop runs at the sample rate of the audio codec, so we're talking 48 kHz or higher, 48,000 adjustments per second. The second big shift is personalized ANC. Sony introduced this with the WF-1000XM4 a few years back, and it's matured considerably. You run a quick calibration, the earbuds play test tones, measure the acoustic response of your specific ear canal, and build a custom transfer function. Everyone's ear shape is different, everyone's fit is different, and a generic ANC profile leaves gaps. Personalized profiles close those gaps, especially in the higher frequencies where passive isolation traditionally does the heavy lifting.
The third thing?
Machine learning on the device itself. Apple's latest AirPods Pro and Sony's current flagship earbuds, we're talking the XM6 generation now, have dedicated neural engines on the audio chip that are constantly classifying the sound environment. They're not just canceling noise, they're identifying what kind of noise it is, and switching between cancellation strategies in real time. Wind gets one algorithm, crowd chatter gets another, construction noise gets a third. The chip knows the difference between a jackhammer and a conversation, and it treats them differently.
When Daniel's sitting in that noisy cafe trying to have a phone call, the earbuds in 2026 are doing something fundamentally different than they were 5 years ago.
The transparency mode in particular has been transformed. Old transparency mode was just piping the outside microphones into your ears. Helpful but unnatural, everything sounded like it was inside your head. The current generation does spatial transparency. Apple calls it adaptive audio. Sony calls it something similar. But the idea is that the earbuds are reconstructing a three-dimensional sound field. Conversations in front of you sound like they're in front of you. Noise from the side is attenuated differently than noise from behind. It's not just volume, it's directional filtering.
That's a subtle distinction that probably matters enormously for phone calls. If the person's voice and the cafe noise are coming from different perceived directions, your brain can separate them.
That's exactly the mechanism. The cocktail party effect, your brain's natural ability to focus on one voice in a noisy room, depends heavily on spatial cues. When everything gets flattened into mono by a bad transparency mode, you lose that. When the spatial information is preserved, your auditory cortex does the heavy lifting for you. The earbuds just need to give your brain the raw material.
Does that mean ANC has caught up to passive isolation for the chaotic noise use case? Because Daniel's experience was that Edemotic-style deep insertion passive earphones were the only thing that actually worked.
I'd say they're complementary now rather than competitive, and which one wins depends on the specific noise profile. Passive isolation, especially deep insertion designs like Edemotic, where the earphone tip sits past the second bend of the ear canal, is still unbeatable for broadband attenuation. You're getting 35 to 42 decibels of reduction across the entire frequency spectrum, including the high frequencies where ANC fundamentally struggles. ANC, even the best current systems, tops out at effective cancellation below about 1.5 kHz. Above that, the wavelengths get too short, the phase matching gets too finicky, and you're relying on passive isolation anyway.
ANC handles the rumble. Passive handles the screech.
That's the division of labor. But here's what's really interesting. The line is blurring. The latest adaptive ANC systems are pushing effective cancellation up to about 3 kHz in ideal conditions with a good seal. That's getting into the range where human speech lives, where a lot of urban noise lives. It's not perfect, but it's no longer true that ANC only works on steady-state hum. A construction site with intermittent hammering, a cafe with clattering dishes. The systems handle these much better than they did even 2 or 3 years ago.
Let me push on that. Daniel mentioned living next to a construction site for a year and a half. That's not intermittent hammering. That's heavy machinery, concrete saws, the kind of noise that you feel in your chest. Is ANC actually making a dent there, or is this still a passive isolation problem?
For the low-frequency component, the rumble of excavators, the throb of generators, the kind of noise that travels through building structures. ANC is effective now, and in some ways better than passive isolation, because passive isolation falls off at low frequencies. The mass of the earphone and the compliance of the seal just can't block sub-100 Hz energy very well. But the high-frequency component of construction noise, the screech of a concrete saw, the sharp impact of a hammer, that's still primarily a passive problem. What's changed is that the best systems now handle the transition between those two regimes more gracefully. You don't get that weird sensation of the ANC suddenly giving up and the passive isolation taking over.
The answer to the first part of the prompt is yes. ANC has meaningfully improved for chaotic real-world noise, but the improvement is more about the adaptive intelligence layer than about raw cancellation depth.
The cancellation depth, the maximum decibels of reduction, hasn't changed dramatically. What's changed is how quickly and intelligently the system responds to changing conditions. It's the difference between a thermostat and a skilled HVAC operator who's watching the weather and anticipating. The thermostat can hold a set point, but the skilled operator adjusts before you even notice the room getting stuffy.
Which brings us to the second part. Can you take this out of headphones and do it at room scale? Daniel's idea. A microphone pointed at the street. A ceiling-mounted speaker, canceling the outside noise before it reaches your ears.
This is the holy grail of noise control, and people have been chasing it since the 1930s. Paul Lueg filed the first patent for active noise control in 1936. He was thinking about canceling sound in ducts, not headphones. The physics is the same, but the scale makes everything harder by orders of magnitude.
Walk me through why.
The fundamental challenge is that sound is a wave propagating through three-dimensional space. In a headphone, you're controlling a tiny volume, a few cubic centimeters of air between the speaker driver and your eardrum. The anti-noise wave only has to be correct at one point in space. In a room, you're trying to control thousands of cubic meters. The anti-noise has to be correct everywhere, or at least everywhere a person might be sitting. And sound waves don't just travel in straight lines, they reflect off walls, they diffract around furniture, they create standing waves and nodes. At a single frequency, you might be able to cancel at one point, but you'll almost certainly amplify at another point. That's the fundamental trade-off.
You'd create quiet zones and loud zones. Move your head 6 inches, and suddenly it's worse than no cancellation at all.
And the frequency dependence makes it even harder. For a 1,000 Hz tone, the wavelength is about 34 centimeters. Your quiet zone and your loud zone are only 17 centimeters apart. That's the distance between a peak and a trough. If you're sitting on your couch trying to read, your ears are in one zone and your book is in another. For a 100 Hz rumble, the wavelength is 3.4 meters, so you can create a usefully large quiet zone. That's why most practical room-scale ANC systems focus exclusively on low frequencies.
You can cancel the traffic rumble, but not the car horns.
And even for the low frequencies, you need multiple speakers and multiple microphones distributed around the room, all coordinated by a controller that's solving a multi-channel adaptive filtering problem in real time. The computational complexity scales with the square of the number of channels. A 4-speaker, 4-microphone system is 16 times more complex than a single-channel system, and you probably need more channels than that for a real living room.
Has anyone actually built this?
Yes, in specific contexts. There's a company called Silentium that's been doing active noise control for HVIC ducts and server racks for years, confined spaces where you're essentially dealing with one-dimensional sound propagation. That's tractable. For open rooms, the most interesting work has been on active windows. Researchers at Nanyang Technological University in Singapore demonstrated a system a few years back where they mounted microphones on the outside of a window and speakers on the frame, creating a cancellation zone around the window opening. It worked. They got about 10 decibels of reduction for traffic noise below 500 hertz, but the quiet zone was basically right at the window. Move a meter into the room and the effect dropped off sharply.
It's less canceling the noise in the room, and more canceling the noise at the point of entry.
Which is actually the smarter approach, physically. If you can stop the noise at the boundary, you don't have to deal with all the reflections and room modes inside. The window itself becomes the cancellation surface. There's been a flurry of patents in the last 2 years from companies like Samsung and Panasonic for active window systems, and I've seen some prototypes at trade shows. The basic idea is that the window frame contains an array of small speakers and microphones, and the glass itself might be used as a distributed mode loudspeaker. You drive the glass panel with actuators to make it vibrate in antiphase with the incoming sound.
Wait, the window becomes the speaker?
The window becomes the speaker. It's the same principle as those surface transducers you stick on a table to turn it into a speaker, but applied to a double-glazed window unit. The outer pane vibrates with the incoming sound. The inner pane vibrates in opposition, and the air gap between them becomes the cancellation zone. It's elegant because you're not adding a visible speaker. The window looks like a normal window. The challenge is that glass is heavy and stiff, so you need significant power to drive it at low frequencies, and the resonant modes of the glass panel create peaks and dips in the frequency response that the controller has to compensate for.
That's clever. But I'm guessing it's still in the works in a lab phase, not something Daniel can buy and install in his Jerusalem apartment.
I'm not aware of any commercially available active noise-canceling window that you can order today. There are some very good passive acoustic windows. Laminated glass with different thickness panes, wide air gaps, specialized frame seals, and those can get you 30 to 40 decibels of broadband reduction. That's a solved problem. It's just expensive and requires replacing your existing windows, which in a rental is usually not an option.
Which brings us to the retrofit question. Daniel's idea was a microphone outside and a speaker inside, something you could set up without modifying the building.
That's where we run into the physics wall I described. But there's a twist that I think is worth exploring, because it's where the research is actually heading. Instead of trying to cancel the noise globally in the room, you create a personal quiet zone, a bubble of silence around a specific location, like your desk chair or your bed. That's much more tractable because you're only controlling the sound field in a small volume.
It's headphones without the headphones.
And there are commercial products that do this. A company called Muzo tried to launch a personal noise-canceling device a few years back. It was a small unit you'd stick on a window or wall that would vibrate to cancel incoming noise. The reviews were mixed at best. The physics just doesn't allow a single small device to cancel broadband noise across a whole room. But a system with a headrest mounted speaker array. Think of a chair with speakers built into the headrest, microphones monitoring the ambient noise, creating a quiet zone exactly where your ears are. That's been demonstrated in research labs and it works surprisingly well.
Your reading chair could have ANC built into it.
Sony actually showed a concept like this at CES a few years ago. The Acoustic Slumber, I think they called it, a headboard with integrated speakers and microphones designed to cancel snoring. It never made it to market, but the concept is sound. The quiet zone only needs to be big enough to encompass your head while you're sleeping. That's maybe a 30-centimeter sphere. At the frequencies of snoring, mostly below 500 hertz, that's achievable.
Snoring cancellation feels like the killer app that would sell a million units overnight.
The divorce rate would plummet. But more seriously, the technology for localized quiet zones is maturing. The key enabler has been the same thing that improved headphone ANC, faster processors, better algorithms, and the ability to model the acoustic space in real time. A system can now use a small microphone array to characterize the room acoustics, identify the dominant noise sources, and compute cancellation signals that are optimal for a specific listening position.
There's something almost poetic about that. The room learns where your ears are and protects them.
It's beamforming in reverse. Beamforming uses an array of microphones to focus on a specific sound source. This uses an array of speakers to create a specific quiet spot. The mathematics is nearly identical. And the same neural network advances that improved headphone ANC apply here. The system can learn the acoustic fingerprint of your apartment, learn what traffic sounds like through your specific windows, and optimize its cancellation strategy accordingly.
Let me synthesize where we are for Daniel's specific situation. He's in a noisy urban apartment. He's tried headphones. He's considered acoustic windows. And he's wondering if room scale ANC is viable. The answer seems to be not yet for a whole room retrofit solution, but the pieces are coming together. Active windows are in prototype, personal quiet zones are demonstrated, and the processing capability is there. What's missing?
The missing piece is the speaker-to-ear transfer function problem in an uncontrolled environment. In headphones, the speaker is a known distance from the eardrum, in a known acoustic cavity. In a room, you don't know exactly where the listener's ears are, you don't know if they've moved, you don't know if the furniture has been rearranged. Any practical system needs to track the listener's head position and adjust the cancellation field in real time. That's a solvable problem. Cameras, ultra-wideband positioning, there are options, but it adds cost and complexity.
If you're going to track someone's head position with a camera, you might as well just give them headphones and call it a day.
That's the pragmatic answer, and honestly, it's why consumer audio companies have focused so heavily on headphone ANC. The engineering is tractable, the market is enormous, and the user experience is good enough for most use cases. But there's a genuine need for headphone-free solutions. People who can't wear headphones for medical reasons, people who need to hear ambient sound for safety, people who just find headphones uncomfortable for extended wear. Daniel mentioned sound sensitivity. I don't know the specifics, but for some people, the physical sensation of something in or on their ears is itself a source of distress. For those use cases, a room-based solution would be transformative.
Nobody wants to wear headphones to bed.
The sleep market is driving a lot of this research. There are already consumer products like the Bose Sleep Buds, which are tiny earbuds designed specifically for sleeping. They don't stream music, they just play masking sounds and provide passive isolation. But there's still something in your ears. A headboard-based ANC system that creates a quiet zone around your pillow without anything touching your head. That's the dream, and the technology is tantalizingly close.
Let me ask about a different angle. Daniel mentioned Edimotic as the gold standard for passive isolation. Is that still the case, or have other manufacturers caught up?
Edimotic is still the reference for deep insertion passive isolation. Their ER4 series, now in the ER4 XR and ER4 SR variants, consistently measures 35 to 42 decibels of broadband isolation. That's essentially earplug level attenuation. The trade-off is comfort and convenience. Deep insertion takes getting used to, and the cable microphonics can be annoying. Custom-molded in-ear monitors from companies like Ultimate Ears or JH Audio can match or exceed that isolation with better comfort, but you're talking about a significant investment and a visit to an audiologist for ear impressions.
If Daniel's priority is maximum noise blocking and he's willing to tolerate the fit, Edimotic is still the answer.
For passive isolation, yes, but the calculus changes if you also want ANC. A well-fitted pair of Sony WF-1000XM6 or Apple AirPods Pro with foam tips can get you into the 30 decibel range of combined passive and active attenuation, and they add the adaptive transparency features we talked about. For someone who needs to switch between blocking everything out and being aware of their surroundings, the hybrid approach is hard to beat.
There's a right tool for the job. Throughline here. Airplane. ANC earbuds are perfect. Construction site next door. Passive isolation might still win. Noisy cafe phone call. The new adaptive transparency is the game changer.
That last one is where the most noticeable progress has been made. 5 years ago, taking a phone call in a noisy cafe with any kind of earbuds was an exercise in frustration. The person on the other end heard everything, you couldn't hear them, and the whole experience was miserable. Now, with the beamforming microphones and the neural noise suppression running on device, you can have a normal conversation while someone operates an espresso machine 3 feet away. It feels like magic because the technology is doing something your brain can't do on its own. It's isolating a voice from noise before it even reaches your auditory system.
The espresso machine test. That should be an industry standard benchmark.
It basically is, informally. Audio reviewers love testing ANC in cafes for exactly this reason. The clattering, the hissing, the chatter. It's a torture test of broadband impulse noise mixed with steady state noise. Exactly the scenario that exposes weaknesses in both passive and active systems.
Let's circle back to the room scale question because I want to make sure we haven't dismissed it too quickly. Daniel's idea of a microphone on the street side and a ceiling speaker. Is there any configuration where that works, even in principle?
In principle, yes, with enough caveats to fill a podcast. The approach that has the best chance of working is what's called a virtual acoustic barrier. You place a grid of microphones on the noise source side and a grid of speakers on the protected side, and you use multi-channel adaptive filtering to create a cancellation plane. It's been demonstrated in laboratory settings for tonal noise, think transformer hum, generator noise, with some success. For broadband traffic noise, the complexity explodes because you need to cancel at every frequency simultaneously, and the phase relationships between the microphones and speakers become incredibly complicated.
How many speakers are we talking about?
For a typical apartment window, say 1 meter by 1.5 meters, you'd probably need an array of at least 16 to 24 small speakers arranged around the window frame, plus a similar number of microphones outside. And they all need to be phase coherent, which means they need to be driven by amplifiers with match delay characteristics, and the whole system needs to be calibrated to the specific acoustic environment. This is not a consumer product. This is a bespoke installation that would cost as much as a nice car.
It's technically possible, but economically absurd for a home user.
The cost of the components, the microphones, the speakers, the amplifiers, the DSP chips, has been falling steadily. MEM's microphones are absurdly cheap now, class. D-amplifier chips are commoditized, and the processing can run on a modest ARM processor. The barrier isn't the hardware cost, it's the installation and calibration complexity. You need someone who understands acoustics to set it up properly, and every room is different. That's the kind of thing that a well-trained AI might eventually handle automatically. A system that plays test tones, measures the room response with built-in microphones, and optimizes its own filter coefficients.
The self-calibrating ANC room. That feels like a 5 to 10 year horizon, not a never.
I'd agree with that timeline. The pieces exist, they just haven't been integrated into a consumer product. And I suspect the first successful product won't be a whole room system, it'll be something more targeted. A quiet zone around a desk. A noise-canceling baby crib. A sleep pod. Something where the controlled volume is small enough that the physics is manageable, but the use case is compelling enough that people will pay for it.
A noise-canceling baby crib. That's either the best idea I've ever heard or a lawsuit waiting to happen.
There are already products that play white noise and have some passive acoustic treatment. The Snoo bassinet is the famous example. Adding active cancellation to something like that is an obvious next step. The controlled volume is tiny. It's basically the interior of the bassinet, and the noise you're trying to cancel is environmental, not the baby's own sounds. You'd want the parent to still hear the baby cry.
Right. You're canceling the street noise reaching the baby, not the baby reaching the parent.
And that's a much more tractable problem than canceling noise in a whole living room. The bassinet is a known acoustic cavity. The baby's head position is relatively predictable, and the frequency range of interest is mostly low-frequency urban rumble.
The through line for Daniel is, headphones have gotten dramatically smarter. The adaptive intelligence is the real story. And room-scale ANC is coming. But it's going to arrive in targeted applications before it arrives as a general-purpose room treatment.
I'll add one more thing that I think gets overlooked in these discussions. There's a psychological dimension to noise that the technology can't fully address. Daniel mentions sound sensitivity. For some people, the awareness that noise exists is itself stressful, even if the actual sound pressure level at the eardrum is reduced. ANC can lower the decibels, but it can't change your relationship to the fact that there's a construction site next door. That's where cognitive approaches, mindfulness, habituation training, even just acceptance, complement the technology.
That's a very physician thing to say.
But it's true. I've had patients who were absolutely tortured by tinnitus, and the most effective interventions weren't the masking devices. They were the cognitive behavioral approaches that changed how the brain processed the sound. Noise sensitivity has a similar component. The technology helps, but it's not the whole answer.
The prescription is, get the latest adaptive ANC earbuds for when you need to focus, keep the atomotics for when you need maximum isolation, invest in good passive acoustic treatment for your windows if you can, and maybe don't expect any technology to make a Jerusalem street sound like a library.
Keep an eye on the active window research. I think that's going to be a real product category within the decade. The convergence of cheap MEMS microphones, efficient class D amplification, and on-device machine learning makes it inevitable. someone's going to ship a window that cancels traffic noise, and it's going to be one of those things that, once it exists, makes you wonder why we ever tolerated the alternative.
Like air conditioning for sound.
That's exactly the right analogy. Air conditioning didn't just make hot places cooler, it changed where people could live and work. Active noise control at scale could do the same thing for urban living. Suddenly, the apartment next to the highway is viable. The office under the flight path is pleasant. The bedroom facing the street is quiet. It's not just a convenience, it's a quality of life transformation.
In the meantime, the humble earbud keeps getting smarter.
The amount of signal processing happening in something the size of a jelly bean is astonishing. Adaptive noise cancellation, spatial audio rendering, beamforming microphone arrays, neural voice isolation, personalized EQ, hearing protection limiting, all running on a battery that lasts 8 hours. If you'd described this to an audio engineer in 1995, they'd have assumed you were describing a rack of equipment the size of a refrigerator.
The jelly bean size miracle. That's our era in 4 words.
The miracle keeps improving. The next frontier, which the research community is actively working on, is what they call cognitive ANC, systems that don't just cancel noise, but make intelligent decisions about what to cancel and what to let through based on context. Your earbuds know you're walking down the street, so they let through the sound of an approaching car but cancel the construction noise. They know you're in a meeting, so they cancel everything except voices in front of you. They know you're at a concert, so they switch to hearing protection mode and limit the sound pressure level at your eardrum to safe levels while preserving the music's dynamics.
That's less noise cancellation and more acoustic curation.
That's the vision. Your earbuds become an intelligent layer between you and the acoustic world, making real-time decisions about what reaches your ears. It's a form of augmented reality for sound. And it's not science fiction. The pieces are already shipping in premium products. They just need to get smarter, faster, and more power efficient.
Which seems to be the story of every technology we discuss on this show.
It really is. The underlying physics are stable. The processing gets exponentially better. And every few years, something that was a laboratory curiosity becomes a consumer product. Room-scale ANC will follow the same trajectory. The physics hasn't changed since Paul Lewitt's patent in 1936, but the engineering has finally caught up to the ambition. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In 1898, a Mongolian herder named Sarin Dorje nearly halted the development of synthetic silk when he presented the Qing court with a vest woven from spider silk collected in the Kentii Mountains. It was lighter than anything the imperial tailors had seen, but the project collapsed when someone calculated it had taken 14,000 spiders and 3 years to produce a single garment.
14,000 spiders. I need a nap just thinking about that.
I'm trying to imagine the job title. Chief Arachnid Procurement Officer. Thank you, Hilbert.
Where does this leave us? ANC has quietly become one of those technologies that's so good we barely notice it anymore, and the next decade is going to bring it out of our ears and into our rooms. Daniel's question about whether it can handle chaotic urban noise. The answer is yes, much better than 5 years ago, and the secret is not more cancellation power, but more intelligence about when and how to cancel.
The room scale question, it's coming, but it'll arrive through the window first. Active windows are the most promising path to whole room quiet, and once the calibration problem is solved by on-device AI, I think we'll see rapid adoption. In the meantime, the combination of adaptive ANC earbuds and good passive acoustic treatment covers most use cases pretty well.
Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flemingtop for keeping this operation running, and for the spider facts that will haunt my dreams. This has been My Weird Prompts. You can find every episode at My Weird Prompts. We'll be back next week.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, a time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.